just a staple as far as the New York State Senate represents the 4th District. His name is Phil Boyle, always a welcomed addition, you know, on this program. And we say a very good morning to the Senator. Sir, how are you?
Good morning, Jay. Doing well. Hope you're doing good, too.
Very well. You know, 6 days out, you know, we're in a position as broadcasters, you know, to follow everything. And, you know, it just seems like an eternity in which we stated a couple of hundred days out, under 100 days, and lo and behold, 6 days. And you go through this all the time, you know, every couple of years. What are you feeling these days? You know, you've been such a pro in the post as everything else in the fight for Long Islanders in the Senate and everything else. What are you feeling? What are you going through right now?
You know, we're all kind of, any candidate out there, I think, is hoping that can't wait for it to be over. You know, win, lose, or draw. You know, it's a grind. And obviously, Jay, because of the pandemic, this is a very unusual year. A lot of the things that normally take place in person are taking place on Zoom and other online venues. It's still tough. I mean, last night I was at 3 or 4 different things, and the night before. You got to get the message out there and let people know why you believe that you're up for the job.
And no doubt. And it never stops, right, that message, no matter how long you've been in the post and you've done so well over the years. You know, Lee Zeldin, I always remember what Lee Zeldin told me. He said, Jay, I always believe I'm 10 points behind, even though, you know, he tears apart these elections and everything else, and we know what he's done since taken out of Tim Bishop way back in 14. But, you know, that's always a good mindset, I think. You know, it's like a sports team. Even if you're ahead in the standings, you know, play as if you're behind in the standings, you know, because I guess you never take it for granted, even in the political field, you know.
That's absolutely right. And Lee is a true competitor. And I think you have to have that mindset, particularly this year, because there's so many unknown factors involved. You know, I mean, some people love Trump, some people hate Trump, how that has affect down ballot races that are vitally important. I mean, the New York State Legislature arguably has the most impact on New Yorkers' lives, as we see with things like bail reform and some of the other crazy things that have come out of Albany. We need to make the case that it's obviously the presidential race is usually important, but it's not the only important race on the ballot this year.
Senator Phil Boyle with us. Senator, so as you make the rounds and everything else, you know, the constituency and everything, they give you the feedback. Unprecedented times and everything else, you know, listen, COVID, economy, safety, policing. I mean, where are you at right now as far as top of the charts? Where is the concern the most that you're hearing in your area right now? Where does people say, wow, we got to be careful here? What's the feedback you're getting?
Yeah, Jay, by far and away, obviously, it's the pandemic and how we're going to deal with that. We this year in my office, for example, my Senate government office, we've helped countless people first with getting health coverage when the pandemic first started to make sure they had the proper medical treatment. And, of course, helping out the first responders and frontline healthcare workers getting PPE to protect them and their families. Then a big thing was unemployment insurance. Our office alone helped over 800 constituents get their unemployment insurance because the Department of Labor was just not up to the job. And so we had to, you know, work with our constituents as caseworkers to get it done. It was a nonstop thing for a month. And another big thing, as you've talked about so well, Jay, is the bail reform and the criminal justice reform that took place and that we see the increases in crime as a result of it. So those are the two big issues that we've been dealing with for months and we'll be dealing with right through Election Day.
Hey, listen, we don't hide the fact of what's going on here, right, as far as safety. And now, we have a situation in Philadelphia. I mean, my goodness, here we go again. And again, I implore people to know the backstory, the entire story of what led to the individual's death. But it's, you know, it's a derivative as far as what we see and what we have seen in Brooklyn, as far as rioting and whatnot, looting taking place. You know, these are incidents in which safety becomes an issue right now. And, you know, when you look at bail reform, Senator Boyle, and you look at the situation, you know, I always talk about the Farnham case from a couple of weeks ago, the Bellport guy, double homicide, suicide involved here, an individual who really should have been incarcerated. You know, we spoke with the PBA president at Nassau Corrections, Brian Sullivan, yesterday, the incident with the police, the corrections officer, who was blindsided by an inmate and punched so severely, had to go to the hospital, broken nose, terrible. Facial bruises, you wouldn't believe. I saw pictures. These are reasons why this cashless bail bear reform is so important and so much on the minds now of people, you know?
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, Dan. Those are perfect examples. One of the things, and I strongly recommend everybody look this up, is a new proposal that they just came out in Seattle, of course, but this is the way the far left is thinking these days, to have poverty and mental health issues as defenses for criminal behavior. They would basically not allow for any misdemeanors to be charged in the city of Seattle if this became their law for anybody who, and also substance abuse. Now, obviously, a lot of people commit crimes as a result of their addiction, and that should be taken into account, no question about it. However, that doesn't mean they shouldn't be charged with crimes. This would not allow them to be even charged. And that's the type of mindset that we're going. This is the next level stuff. God forbid we should ever have that across the country and here on Solo Island and New York City, because there'll be nobody left getting arrested whatsoever. It'll just be all criminal all the time.
Bring up a perfect example of what's happening in our country, especially that Northwest there, which has been so much in the news. You know, Janice Durkin's city of Seattle, the mayor, the Summer of Love, remember that whole thing, Summer of Love? Also, let's not forget the Ted Wheelers of this world from Portland. It is what it is, but, as somebody who has spent so many years in Albany, you know, you have seen permeating there, you know, you mentioned this progressive nature. I call it the AOC disease. But in essence, it has permeated its way. It has. And, you know, it's kind of dangerous. One could have that mindset of the way we have changed, not so much politically, but how it's transpired as far as the public is concerned. And that is alarming, I think, to me and many. Because when you look at those changes that have taken place, Senator Boyle, in the last, I don't know what, 5, 6, 7, 8 years to what we were way back and where we are now, a lot of people could be a little fearful of what's happening.
Oh, no doubt. And it's taken hold now. I mean, I think that we have some serious discussions about reforms overall, which is fine. You know, peaceful discussions, no question about it, is needed. But the far left mentality is they're trying to get a foothold out here on Long Island, and not to get political, but even my opponent is, a far left, very nice woman, but she was a Bernie Sanders delegate, AOC super fan, and this is the type of mindset that we've taken for granted is now after New York City the last couple terms. I mean, we've had several Democratic Socialists elected to the state legislature in the last election, and most recently in the primaries. There were 5 moderate Democrats that were taken out in primaries earlier this year. Well, these people now, obviously, they're very left, very blue districts in New York City, so the Republicans really have not much of a chance. So there'll be 5 more Democratic Socialists coming into the fray among all the ones that are already there. And now they're working their way upstate and out to Long Island. So we really need to fight back on this mentality and get back to the old, whether it's Republican, Democrat, people have got to be, you know, moderate to conservative for Long Island. And I think that's where most of us still stand.
Phil Boyle with us, Senator, 4th District, up for a reelection bid in 6 days. You know, besides all this stuff with the bail and everything, a lot of people are keeping an eye as far as the economics. You know, you look at the state now, Senator, it's in dire need of help, and we need that federally. That's not even a partisan issue right now if you're part of this state. We need help. We know it. You look at the counties of Long Island, both of them. in deficits galore, trying to plug holes and everything else. You have the county executive sounding off a few weeks ago in Suffolk, you know, saying he's got to shave $20 million off the police. That's not good with all that's going on. How do we combat this? You know, do we hope for a prayer and a whim as far as maybe getting those dollars? Where do we go from here? How do we get some of those? And when you look at the state, you know, this is where you can agree with Governor Cuomo. You know, we give a lot as far as Washington is concerned. You know, we give over and beyond. And when we're talking beyond, we're talking about $30 billion, folks, as compared to most other states that don't give anything, hardly, really. You know, a state like Kentucky with Mitch McConnell, I mean, come on, he wants you to go bankrupt. But in essence, how do you go about the business of trying to make fiscally sound situations in a state where we can't make it without the help?
Yeah, and Jay, I do believe that this is going to end after the election. I think that, you know, that obviously Nancy Pelosi doesn't want to give the Republicans a victory. Maybe Mitch McConnell doesn't want to, you know, go too far with the helping the Democrats. But right after Election Day, I believe everyone's going to sit down in Congress and say, okay, what do we need to do? We need to get relief to the states and municipalities because obviously the revenues are down with the pandemic and the broken economy. Thankfully, it is coming back. It's coming back much quicker than I thought it was going to be. We're opening up safely, social distancing and stuff like that, and our schools as well. We're not nearly where we were at the beginning, but we're slowly getting there. But we do need to make up for the lost revenues, and that has to come from Washington. There's always going to be some belt tightening, and you know. But when Governor Cuomo and I give him some credit for some of the decisions he made, but you know, when he's talking about 20% cuts to our school districts, that's coming from the taxpayers if it's not made up someplace. So the school districts need to tighten their belts a little bit. We need relief from Washington, and we'll get through this.
Senator, will we ever have an answer? You know, COVID is still on everyone's mind, as you said, maybe at the top. Do you think we'll ever get answers as to truly what went on in our nursing homes during this crisis? And listen, who knows the amount of people that have perished? Is it 6,500? Is it 11,500? Transparency is certainly not at the forefront regarding this stuff. We know investigation. I think there should be an independent one. DOH should not be involved at all. I've said that all along, obvious. But what about the nursing home stuff? I mean, when do we find out something? Listen, 32,000-plus deaths. Nursing homes account for a lot. We don't know the actual number. I don't know if we ever will, maybe one day. But when do we get some real answers here?
Well, this is one area that I completely disagree with Governor Cuomo, and I believe we're going to get the answer like the day after the election. I think they know the number. I think the New York State Department of Health and Commissioner Zucker know the number, but they're not releasing it because it's going to make them look bad, obviously. These are situations where the official tally right now is approximately 6,500 tragically who got COVID and died in nursing homes. But the fact is, we know the number is much larger. There were, and I know personally, of individuals who were in nursing homes, contracted the disease, were on death's door, went to the hospital, or we even died on the way to the hospital, and they are not listed as, quote, a nursing home death because they didn't actually die in the nursing home. I think you're right. I think that number may be 10, 11,000. They know it, and they're going to know that in the days following the election next week, that would be buried on page, you know, 76 of your local newspaper as to what the actual number is, and make it act like it never happened. But there needs to be an independent investigation, as you said, Jay. Get to the bottom of it so this mistake is never made again, and those who are responsible pay for it. You know, everyone makes difficult decisions, and sometimes they make mistakes. But if it was absolute negligence, people need to be held accountable.
Yeah, I'm so sick and tired of these bogus investigations. You know, it's like Child Protective, you know, with a Valva case. I mean, come on. Independence is needed in areas here. And this is one area in which you need an independent investigation. It's plain and simple. It really is. Last one, sir. So, you know, you look at the numbers. What is it, 40-23? Dems have the advantage in the Senate, 106-42, give or take, in the Assembly. Listen, how do you turn it around? I mean, do you feel confident at this point in time that the Senate can actually gain a bit of control here as far as the state of New York. What are you feeling now?
Yeah, I definitely think that the Republicans are going to gain seats next week. And I think that some of those may here on Long Island. I know there's a couple that could easily flip and a couple others around the state. I'm not sure we're going to get to the actual majority, but we don't have to. We just have to get in the ballpark. And then the pressure really goes on the Democrats in the majority to say, hey, you know, I'm not risking my career to side with the far left anymore like they did on issues such as bail reform this past time. In essence, say that from a political perspective, you look at it this way. Some of these Democrats voted for the bail reform because they were afraid of primaries from the left taking them out of their state Senate and state assembly seats. However, what they found out was when they did side with them, now the pressure's coming from the Republicans and their supporters. You know, look at they're getting millions of dollars spent against them in the general election. They were worried about primaries, which they didn't get, but they could lose their seats as from Republicans, more conservative individuals who are against bail reform because of the votes they took. So going forward, when the numbers are closer in the Senate, those moderate Democrats are going to have to say, wait a minute, we're going to watch out for Long Island. We're going to watch out for upstate. New York City, you take care of yourselves, but we have to watch our constituents.
And that's why what makes it so, and that's a good point, what makes it so disgraceful, folks, is, a Carl Hastie or an Andrew Stewart Cousin. I mean, they're making real threats here. The threats are, listen, we're going to take away the dollars and everything else in your district if you don't go our way here. And that's really plain and simple. It really is. I mean, you can't tell me, you know what, we fixed it a little bit to give judges a little bit back their power. No, it's not the way it works. Judges need full discretion, okay? Full discretion. That's why they wear the robe. That's why they bang the gavel, okay? Because they have been given that power. Now we've stripped it away and given them back just a trifle. Uh-uh. Doesn't work that way. Because what you're going to have is more William Farnhams out there. You're going to have more Jordan Randolphs, more Tiffany Harrises out there. More Eugene Pierre's out there, the inmate, part of that bloods gang who beat up the cop, beat up the correction officer, as we mentioned yesterday on the show. You can't have it. Sorry to sound off like that, Senator, but you know what? It kind of ruffles my feathers a little bit here.
Well, you're absolutely right. And if they, what I have called for was completely repealing the bail reform. We'll sit down, we'll get experts, prosecutors, cops, and defense attorneys to say, okay, what can we do safely? You know, you want to, should someone stay in jail waiting for trial for weeks or months because of a small drug, selling pot on the corner? Absolutely not. We can all agree on that. Would pass unanimously. But letting these criminals out, violent, dangerous criminals out, it was terrible the first time, and it's really bad now. It's gotten a little bit better, but not nearly enough, as you say, Jay. We need to protect Long Islanders, protect New Yorkers, and so the whole thing should be scrapped and started over.
I don't care about the guy who has a little bit of cannabis on him. You know, I care about the guy who drives drunk and has been let in and out, and thus, look what happened on that William Floyd a year ago. Okay, that's what I care about. I care about the guy who has been arrested for multiple burglaries and says to the cop handcuffing him, you know what? Go ahead. Here are my wrists. I'll be out by lunchtime. Go ahead. Do your thing. They know already what's going on here. So it's the judge's discretion. I say it all along, Senator. It's the disclosure and the discovery requirements as well. They got to be changed without question. Listen, we will follow your path in the next six days. We will have you on very soon, I am sure.
Thank you so much, Jay. Great talking to you this morning.